In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do ask you to pray today, particularly for all of our seminarians. Today, our seminarians are gathered together at the Pecos Monastery, just there outside of the Santa Fe area. And they're seeking the Lord for their retreat. They come together every year before they enter into the seminary to go on retreat for some time to get to know each other in a deeper way, to have that fraternity, but also to get their formation that they have in the diocese, to make sure that they grow with one heart, to meet with the bishop, to meet with the vocation team, and as well to have special talks to help them prepare over the course of their training for all the things that maybe are particular to the Archdiocese and that we want to emphasize. So please pray for all those who are there, particularly our young Fabian, who's entered into the seminary, or is entering into the seminary for this time. Please pray for him. He's excited as he goes up there. By the way, today's the day where they take all their pictures. So when you see their pictures displayed on the vocations poster that we'll probably get sometime in October, this is the day on which we will remember that face of Fabian and all the others, what they look like today, maybe not what they look like then. I remember my picture had me with a bit of scruff on my face, and so I had to live with the rest of the year with that scruffiness because I forgot to bring my razor that particular day. Moving on. Today, our Lord gives us something. It says here, I just want to dwell upon the last line of what happens here within our gospel. It says, thereupon the whole town came to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. So here's the question. What is it that you and I are doing that causes us to be just like them, those of the Gadarene district? Or in other words, what is it that you and I are doing that cause us to beg the Lord to leave our own district, our own hearts, our own lives, our families, our community, our church? Here's a question to help us figure that out. Oftentimes, we're daily mass goers, so we understand the faith. We live it really well. We're intentionally here in a strong way, and so it's probably not grave or great swaths of things that we're struggling with. We're probably not struggling with all sorts of grave sins that are there. Probably none of you are out there physically murdering anybody on your days when you're not here. Probably none of you are out there, I don't know, driving people, or to stick with the fifth commandment, to abortion mills to go and to make sure that people get grave, to end the life of little children. That's probably not what's going on. But what are the things that you and I are allowing to go within our lives that do drive our Lord from the district of our house? You see, within the scriptures, today we celebrate the feast of all the first Roman martyrs who are saying, I'm going to give everything away to the Lord, right? Then I'm willing to put my life on the line in order to just to be able to profess the name of our Lord Jesus. I'm willing to be able to stand out knowing full well that if I'm called upon to burn incense to these idols that are there, I'm not going to do it. I won't partake in anything that is objectively sinful or come anywhere near it. That's the faith that we're doing. Remember, is what St. Tertullian said. It was the martyr's blood. The blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of what the church is. So as to many times throughout the world today, even the martyr's blood still continues to flow mightily during this time, in particular areas of the world. What ways are you and I not allowing Christ to come in and kicking him out of our lives? For example, something that is a struggle here is if we deny the real truths of the faith. So do we really believe that our Lord is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist in a strong way, such that we would never seek to do anything to grieve him who is here when we're in Mass, or to make sure that we ourselves are well prepared when we receive him here, giving that true homage that is there due for God actually being present. A little bit deeper look at ourselves. What are the things in which maybe we struggle to assent to the faith? Maybe for some it's in the Sixth Commandment area of, well, it's all right for the use of artificial birth control or prophylactics in that way, such that, well, They understand what is going on, and it's really not that bad. We're realizing that it is too gravely a sin for our children and for our grandchildren. Do we really go before them and say, if you use those things, you're separating yourself from God, and so you can't use those? Are we begging them to do so and to recognize that truth? Maybe in something that is even harder than that, because maybe that's not a struggle that anyone has here. Here's a tougher way. I want to read to you from not the Gospel of John, but from the second letter of St. John. I can actually read for you the whole of it right now, and it wouldn't add much to the homily. It's only, 14 verses. That's the whole letter. Very short. He starts with a little introduction, praising them for holding to the faith. But then he goes a little bit deeper here and calls them not to resist the spirit of the Antichrist. And the spirit of the Antichrist is anyone who says that our Lord Jesus did not come in the flesh. And here's what he says in verse 9 through 11. Remember, St. John is always talking about the love of God. He says here in verse 9 of that second letter that he writes, anyone who runs ahead does not continue within the teaching of Christ. Meaning anybody who wants to go their own way, or rather to progress with their own type of gospel, is running away from the gospel of Christ and does not have God. He says, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son, the Father and the Son living within him. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house, or do not welcome him or greet him upon the street. For anybody who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. That's a little bit tougher teaching, right? How many of you have ever heard that teaching before? Let the record show, not a single hand. It says right here, if anyone comes to you bearing a teaching which is against the faith, do not take them into your home. Do not invite them into that intimacy of your home. For anybody who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. That's a tough teaching, isn't it? That's a tough teaching. Do we welcome people into our home and allow them to commit grave sin under our roof? Do we welcome people into our house, bring them into fellowship with us, sit with them in our intimate places while they go out and do evil things? Here's something that I struggle with in my family. Do you know that it's a grave sin? A grave sin to go to somebody's celebration of a marital bond if they're a Catholic and doing that outside the church without permission. We share in their grave sin when we do so. An even further thing, to send them a wedding gift to do so. For would you send somebody a gift if they were doing something evil to celebrate what it is that they're doing? These are all grave things, right? I myself have a relative of mine who is indeed getting married outside of the church, even at this time. Because of that, obviously they didn't invite me to do the wedding, right? They didn't even think to do so because they knew that that was wrong, showing that they have that conscience there. So now here, an intimate relative of mine, I can't even go to their situation, unlike so many others, which should be a joyous situation, because they want to have a photo op, I guess, to do something outside of the church. In this way, I can't even recognize this false bond that they're making by saying that this is husband and wife, because they're not husband and wife. They've just signed a legal contract. That's it. And so to be able to do so, to live out this gospel in the right way, I can't have any share in the wicked work that there's in that. This is really what our Lord is calling us to. In the ways in which we welcome those into our home without allowing them to have their conscience disturbed in this way, without reminding them of that call to conversion, while still loving them, while still cherishing them, while still showing them the love of Christ, but not blessing their things or saying that it's all right as they continue in the same way. If we do that, if we allow them to continue in that same way, it says right there in verse 11, anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. And so that's why it's important that we really follow what's going on within the world. In the same way, anybody who welcomes somebody to the Eucharist as has been a great controversy in this time, who is not prepared to receive the Lord in the Eucharist because they're staying abjectly against God and his teachings, holding to false teachings and ways in which cause scandal, also would share in that same wicked work. Let's ask our Lord for deeper conversion of heart and an understanding of how it is that we can live this out in a radical way so we don't become like those Gadarenes who are there in the gospel today after seeing the Lord drive out the wicked work of the evil one. Wicked work of the evil one. Said, well, we don't want the Lord here if that means that all that evil is going to have to be driven out of our lives, because that means I'm going to have to change in some way. All of us have that same movement within our souls where we say, Lord, come here, but not there. Let's ask our Lord for a deeper sense of that conversion so that when we receive him, if we're able to receive him in Holy Communion, we can be one who rise up against them and judge the Gadarenes on those days who kicked our Lord out and say that we, on the other hand, welcomed him fully in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.